Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Happy Friday, everybody. Hopefully you're giving yourself some credit, patting yourself on the back and saying, well done, because you made it through. You made it through the week, all the things that got in your way failed to stop you. So job well done. Job well done. Hopefully you had a great week. I hope you have great plans for the weekend ahead of you. 402-464-5685 is the Sartain Haven text line. What I want to talk about today is a series of greatest evers.
Ooh.
Greatest evers. And there's lots in the conversation and lots of different points to direct.
But the goats.
Right? But the goats of and somebody asked me, like, when did we start using goat? And it was very recent.
Really?
Goat talk used to mean that a bad thing.
Mm.
Goat was a bad luck thing.
Mm, yeah.
Goat was a bad luck thing.
Yeah.
And then somebody took the acronym greatest of all time and said, okay, we're going to,
you're a goat.
You're a goat. And without defining what a goat is, often in sports, we cross streams and we miss the conversation, but I invite you in to be a part of this conversation because I was asked this question. I was doing a show for my buddy in Vegas and he asked me, who my first heroes were in sports.
It's a good question.
And that's how, like, those are the ones that made me a sports fan. Like the people that made me a sports fan, that made me care about the people who were exceptional at this thing and whatever it was. And again, in an era, I grew up in an era where you didn't have, there's no internet, there's no ESPN. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even Fox. That you got your sports in pockets. You got them in different patches and you watched. So being a DC kid, that you got a lot of national feed in DC, because that's just what the market was, but you didn't get a lot of content. You got one football game in the early part of the day. You got one football game in the other part of the afternoon. There was no Sunday night game. There was not even Monday night. There was not even a Monday night football game. There was just Saturday, Sunday football. College football was just Saturday, and you usually got your choice between maybe two football games. You might get a night game, but not all the time.
Yeah.
And where I was in DC, that we were kind of in between because we were north of Virginia and Virginia Tech. We were south of Maryland. DC proper didn't really have football, a college football at that level. Sunday mornings, what would happen is you would get an hour recap of Grambling football. You would get Grambling because the late great Eddie Robinson. and you got to watch those teams and you became familiar with players. And then right behind that, you got Notre Dame highlights.
Really?
And Lindsey Nelson and Paul Hornig would do recaps. They would do the play-by-play, but then they would just pick highlighted plays, and you got an hour of Notre Dame football. And that was how you paid attention.
Yeah.
There was no Sports Center. So you got the local sports and whatever that sportscaster wanted to talk about in his 6 minutes. That's all you got. Like, and that's the only video you got. And then Sunday night at 11 o'clock, George Michael in DC would fire up the sports machine. And he would take, you know, he had this big game room. I don't know if you ever saw George Michael's sports machine, but he had this big, huge studio with all these TVs, and he would, you know, hit all these magical buttons and play tape. And that's where you saw the people that you would read about in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. We got our sports via the newspaper.
Newspaper? Never heard of her.
Newspaper, right. That you had to read, like,
yeah,
that the sports section you would dig through. One, you got the mm-hmm. lead story local, then the local, the national story. Mm-hmm. But then you would dig in and find the stats for that, whatever season you were in.
Yeah.
And then you would go to the dime store and you would find the magazine that matched your favorite sport. And that's how you got your information. That's literally how you got your information. And
you had to work for it more.
You had to work for it. You had to listen to the radio. And what? Yeah, you had to listen. But you had to listen to, there were transistor radios that you would hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the signal was always terrible. Mm. Terrible.
Like, it didn't matter where you were.
Didn't matter where you were. The signal was always terrible. It always sounded like it was being scratched. Mm. Like the whole time. But that's how you got, like, Washington Senators. They weren't on TV. So you would sit around the radio, or you would get your transistor and you would listen to radio, listen to baseball, football, your team. If your team wasn't a national team, you didn't
get to
see them.
You had to listen on radio.
You had to listen on radio. Mm-hmm. And that was how it was. And it was terrible. It was not think about how bad it was.
I remember when if we're on the road during a Husker football game, we sometimes have to listen to it on the radio.
Yeah. It just,
it's not the same.
Yeah, like it's just tough, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we got it. But what it forced us to do was have an imagination about what we thought was happening.
It does.
And the heroic people were the play-by-play folks. And I don't know that the play-by-play folks today get as much credit as the Vin Scullys who broadcasted. They were mythical voices. They were mythical. The elder Buck, the elder Carey, they were mythical because they were the people that told the country who the stars were.
Yeah.
And they get to pick who the stars were.
Mm-hmm.
And then cable TV showed up and it was like, oh, this is the best.
Yeah. Because you actually get to see it.
I mean, to hear about Atlanta Fulton County Stadium versus hearing about Fulton County Stadium,
mm-hmm.
seeing Wrigley Field,
mm-hmm.
rather than hearing people talk about the Ivy, and you go, okay, I don't quite get it.
Yeah,
you're trying to paint a picture. Seeing the athletes, like the first time I saw Lou Brock run, was different than hearing about Lou Brock run.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Bob Gibson pitch was a thing of art.
Words can only say too much.
No, he was just a different beast. And so they asked me who were your first heroes?
All right, here we go.
And being a DC kid, it would almost be twofold. One, the people that I saw a lot of, and then the people that I wanted to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
From Washington in the 60s, in the late 60s.
Okay.
Late 60s. Man, that sounds like a long time ago.
I can't even comprehend the 60s.
The 60s. Again, no TV. It's just really weird. But my first football hero was Sonny Jurgensen, quarterback for the Washington Redskins,
who, right.
when he retired, he led the entire NFL in passing. He was one of a kind. He really changed the way the game was being played. And they weren't very good. as far as wins and losses, but he always just put up a ton of yardage. And he had great talented receivers. He had Charlie Taylor, Bobby Mitchell, Jerry Smith. He had the best. That three is as good as any three at those positions ever.
Okay.
That if you were going to take two wide receivers and a tight end from any team in the NFL, any era, that when they retired from the game, Sonny Jurgensen led the NFL in career passing yards and touchdowns. Charlie Taylor led the NFL in catches all time. He was number one. Nobody had ever caught more passes than he did. Bobby Mitchell was number three, and Jerry Smith was number five.
Okay.
That's all from one franchise at the same time.
Yeah.
So they were as good. And now it's been surpassed because one, people throw more too.
Yeah. Also more games.
Yeah. More games, bigger deal. But for that run, that was as good as there was. That was as good as there was. For baseball, we had the Washington Senators.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Senators were renowned for how bad they were. they were famous for being bad. People made fun of them in plays on Broadway. Okay. That's how bad they were. The marketing phrase for the Washington Senators, for my Washington Senators, was first in your hearts, last in the AFC, in the AL East.
That's good.
First in your heart, last in the American.
Whoever
League.
Came up with that needs a raise.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they got it because it was. But they played at the same stadium. They both played at RFK Stadium. And then they moved to Texas in 71, maybe 71, 72. But on the Washington teams, we only had really two really good players. One was a pitcher named Dick Bosman, who I want to say was a 500 pitcher, but we were so bad that 500 was like ace.
Yeah.
He was like the ace. They went and got a guy who won the Cy Young for Detroit. He won 30 games for Detroit, came to Washington, did not win 30 games. Denny McClain, who was a left-hander, won 30 games with Detroit, came to D.C., not so much. But we had a hitter, and he was a massive man.
Massive. Big dude.
Giant, especially in that era. So just imagine that you picked up Aaron Judge from today's game and put him back in the 60s.
Geez, okay.
Yes. His name was Frank Howard. He was so massive that they called him the Washington Monument.
It's a good nickname.
He was 6'6" and a half, 270 pounds.
Ooh. How fast could he run?
He couldn't.
No, okay.
He couldn't. Played first base. But he was athletic.
Okay.
He was athletic. I mean, he played outfield.
Okay.
Then they finally got smart and put him at first base. But he was actually, he wasn't a horrible outfielder.
Okay.
But he was just massive.
Why would you put someone that big in outfield?
Well, because he was athletic. He was an athlete, but he was massive.
Yeah.
And the poor guy didn't have anybody to bat around him. Like, he didn't. And it was just, it was sad, pathetic. But he was amazing. Like, he was why we went to games. Because he would hit baseballs 500 feet.
He was that dude.
He was Aaron Judge before Aaron Judge. He would hit baseballs 500 feet. Like, he actually, there's a mythical story that he hit one out of RFK Stadium into the streets of D.C. Yeah. And there are people who still debate whether they were there or not. But, you know.
one of the tales.
Yeah, one of the, like, wait a minute. Like, there's a little air duct vent that was open at the top of the stadium, and he hit the ball through this vent and it went out the stadium. Yeah. You have to, again, before the internet.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Word of mouth.
Don't know. But they what they would do is they would paint the seats where his home runs landed. And in a stadium of red seats, there would be these white seats, and in those white seats, these were the places where Frank Howard hit a baseball. And to tell you that these are 470, 480 feet, and there's a bunch of them. So that was who we watched was a bad Senators team, a bad Redskins team. And then we had ABA basketball.
Yeah, ABA for the NBA.
Before the, well, before it merged with the NBA.
Well,
before it merged with the NBA. The NBA was established. The ABA was a new, cooler, trendier. They had the red, white, and blue ball.
Trendy.
Everybody dressed cool, big afros. so much so that, you know, Will Ferrell mocked it in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Playing for the tropics. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I watched it. Yeah. I literally watched it like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like, my brother brought it up.
Yeah. It's.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Jackie Moon.
Yeah. Jackie Moon.
Jackie Moon.
Jackie Moon. Yeah.
So they said, so here's the story. They said that one night, in Detroit,
Jackie,
that Frank Howard hit a ball that was reported as traveling over 600 feet.
Mm.
And this was in the, this was actually reported.
Okay.
Like this was in the Washington Post.
This happened.
Like this was in the Washington Post. And they said, no. Now, again, not real sure how effective, how accurate. Yeah. Tape measures were in 1968.
About as effective as they are now, I guess.
Yeah, you know, like it's a thing. But yeah, there are several stories. And they said that also he played in Seattle where they think he hit a ball 600 feet.
Hmm.
They played in six stadiums. So the name of the six. So sick, S-I, like sick.
Oh,
ill.
Sick. Oh,
S-I-C-K apostrophe S stadium.
Okay, sick.
Which is, it's now a Lowe's in Seattle.
Okay.
But there's a gap between the bleacher and the center field fence.
Okay.
And there's a tall sign, the height of a ladder, right? And but there's a gap. And he said that Frank Howard hit a ball through the gap that landed across the street, and he did it in front of 43,000 fans.
43 back then,
43,000 fans.
Wow.
Said that Mickey Mantle also hit a ball 565 feet out of Griffith Stadium in DC, and they thought it was the furthest home run until Frank Howard hit the ball in Seattle that they think traveled over 600. And again, tons of people saw it. So like, there's a thing.
Those are your heroes.
Yeah, those are my heroes. Basketball. The Bullets were in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They were in Baltimore. They were not in D.C. People don't know that Washington had a Capitals team before hockey.
Mm.
The Washington Caps existed as a pro basketball team. who were world champions. They were ABA champions. They played in Oakland the year before. They were the Oakland Oaks. They featured
the Oakland Oaks.
The Oakland Oaks, right? They didn't go far. Like they weren't looking real hard for a nickname. Like, what can we do? Oakland.
Who was on that marketing team?
Yeah, like, you know, just, you know, somebody picked a name out
of
a hat.
They probably put me on that team.
Yeah, they put a name in a hat, Oakland Oaks. Like, we're going to go with that. But they won the ABA championship with their star player being a small forward by the name of Rick Barry.
Ooh, okay.
And they moved, they weren't making any money in Oakland, so they moved them to Washington, D.C.
Bigger, yeah.
Didn't make money there. so much so that they sold the team and it moved to Virginia, but Virginia didn't have a home for them, so they played in several different places and became the Virginia Squires.
Interesting.
So imagine a world basketball championship team with no home. That's how wacky the 60s and 70s were.
Wow.
That a championship team.
Yeah.
Didn't have a place to play.
That just shows you like the difference of popularity in sports back then and now.
Well,
I feel like
you didn't see these games on TV.
Yeah, that's the
point. That
yeah.
that in the 70s, it wasn't until the 70s that you got to see the games. And I don't think it really happened until Magic Bird.
Yeah. I mean, how is it supposed to be popular if people can't watch it that way?
They didn't watch it. As a matter of fact, the NBA finals were on tape delay.
Jeez.
Like they would record it,
yeah,
and then but you, again, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have cell phones, so you had no way of knowing unless somebody told you what the score was.
Yeah,
but they would run tape delay at like 10 o'clock at night. UCLA, when they went on their great run in Los Angeles, they would record the games. And Bill Walton used to joke, he and Kareem, because they would play the game. Fans wouldn't be able to see it. And then they would run back to their dorm and watch it on TV being aired as though it was live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, okay. And so you didn't really know. Think 72 Olympics. So the miracle.
Okay.
The miracle on ice.
Miracle on ice. Yeah.
Do you know that that was not broadcast live?
Yeah, I did know that.
It never made it live.
Crazy.
And it was
one of the greatest sporting events, like sporting moments.
1980
ever.
Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey was not live. 72, the great Russia USA basketball matchup that was controversial, not live.
Mm-hmm.
On tape delay.
I just couldn't even imagine.
This is why we're the way we are. Mm-hmm. We didn't have nice things. As I think about it now, that, mind you, you could go to the Super Bowl for $10. So there's that.
Heck.
Super Bowl tickets were $10.
I mean, okay, with inflation, I wonder how much that'd be today.
Like $60, maybe.
Yeah. See, that's like nothing.
Though. Yeah. We did have that nice.
Okay.
As they talked about with the College World Series, that you could go general admission for $10.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, general admission. Like people, if they had general admission now, they would be $50 seats.
Mm.
At a minimum, $50 seats. So, yeah, while we didn't have all of the, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have fast food like that. We didn't have Uber Eats.
Didn't have delivery.
Like you could, pizza delivery wasn't like, it wasn't the same, man.
You actually had to drive and go get the pizza.
That I think about that. Wow, we missed out on a lot of stuff, but but we had some really good things. Mm-hmm. Fred says, is someone a bit older than me? Fred, you're not that much older than I am. He says, you're bringing back a lot of memories. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the point, was that so the ABA team played a third of its games in Norfolk, Virginia. Yeah, in Norfolk, Virginia. And then it played some in Richmond. And then it played some in D.C. And it was messy. But I did find my favorite player amongst the mass. We'll go to break. On the brick and mortar, we're going to jump over to the Royals on the streams. One-on-One returns after the break.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP. Sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
DP on a Friday, One-on-One. We appreciate you on the stream. If you're on the brick and mortar, you're probably hearing the KC Royals. Ben and I went down the rabbit hole.
The big rabbit hole.
Yeah, this one's deep. This one's deep because I'm trying to get an understanding of this. So Super Bowl
Tell the audience.
Tickets. Yeah, Super Bowl tickets. And I appreciate the fact that I, you know, my uncle went to the first Super Bowl and spent $8.
Yeah.
$8.
That's how much fast food costs now.
$8. Well, I mean, back then you could get a McDonald's meal for 89 cents.
Yeah.
Like you could get a cheeseburger, fries, soda for 89 cents.
Jeez.
I remember when the first price went over a dollar because people lost their minds.
As Bill Bush says, better times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was the thing. You could get ice cream for 10 cents. Like you, for 10 cents, you were rich because you go to Penny Candy Store.
Yeah.
And you just, any candy, you get 10 of them.
Now you don't even pick up a dime when you see it on the street.
No. Like, is it worth the back pain?
Yeah.
Is it worth the back pain of being old?
Maybe a quarter.
dollar. It's like, are you sure? That better be a real dollar. I'm going to bend over and pick it up. But 1967, so Super Bowl I.
Uno.
It's the one. Ticket costs $10. and through adjusted for inflation. So they adjusted it to kind of measure it, but inflation at $90.
Yeah, and that's still not that much today, to be honest. No.
I mean,
I would go to the Super Bowl for $90.
I mean, imagine the greatness that is with spring game only being $10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, kudos. Like, as much as we give the University of Nebraska grief, $10 spring game tickets, bravo.
They're not trying to make money off that. I mean, like, they are, but like.
Well, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And so, but the idea that you could only charge $10, bravo.
Yeah, they could totally up that price.
Yeah, bravo. I mean, I think it's $10.
Fans would totally pay for more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Here's what I know about fans: will complain about every ticket price. Yeah. Like, anytime somebody like,
unless it's free.
Like, we were working, because we were working with Supernovas.
Yeah.
And so on social media, they would often do these ticket giveaways, these ticket prices. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're gonna for March, Ides of March, we're gonna make tickets $3.15, and you should throw confetti and cheer. And immediately, as soon as they posted it, somebody would post, it's not $3.15 with tax and fees. And they're like, come on, you're getting a $3 ticket. I mean,
they're not wrong, but yeah. You know.
And then you go, well, wait. Do you want to go to the game? Is that what you're saying? And they're like, yeah, you should give me tickets because I can't afford the $3.15. And it was just like, oh,
wow. You got bigger issues if you can't afford that.
I try not to mock anybody, but I know in this that for the first four Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
five, six, seven, eight, for the first eight Super Bowls, max price $15. For the first state, you saw some good games.
Mm.
You saw some great games. You saw some great talent.
Mm-hmm.
Then it jumped up to 20 in 1975. Benton. It stayed at that price until 1978 when it jumped to $30. 1978. So that's Steelers, Cowboys, heyday. Like $30 Super Bowl tickets.
The good old days.
Like the fact that you could not watch that now for.
No, watch like you Cowboys Steelers 30.
You can't even get it on pay per view for that.
Yeah, that's how much you're having to pay for streaming.
Yeah, like you're not getting that. $30 all the way up to 1981, jumped up to 40, stayed there until 84, where it was $60. Inflation adjustment puts it at $175 per ticket,
mm-hmm.
currently. $60 in 85. That's the Bears run, so you know, seeing Walter Payton. $86, $75, which ran until 1988, where it hit 100.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It stayed at 100 for 3 years, jumped up to 125 in 1990, stayed at 150 for the next couple of years, then bumped up to 175 all the way up to 1994. Then in 1995, jumped to $200. 96, the following year, added 150. Thanks. 1996, again, the previous year, $200 ticket. In 1996, tickets were $350.
Going up substantially.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse.
Well, no, actually it got better for 3 years, where it was $275.
Oh, it went down?
Went down.
Interesting.
Went down.
I wonder why.
Well, I have to go back and look at what those Super Bowls were.
I wonder if it was this bad TV.
Maybe it's the Vikings. Maybe it was the Vikings of Buffalo. They were just like, no, enough. I can't watch it. Then it jumped up to 325, which it was for 4 years. 2002.
02.
So 9/11.
Yeah.
That era, 2001, where it was 325. Following year, 400. Mm-hmm. Stayed at 400 for 4 years until 2005, where it jumped to $600.
I was one.
It's all your fault. You were born and ticket prices went up. Thanks, Ben.
No problem.
Thank you.
I'm here all day.
Yep, apparently. 2005, $600. Then it jumped to 700 for 2 years. Fast forward to 2009, it hits $1,000.
Four digits.
2009. From the life of me, I cannot even remember who was in that Super Bowl.
I can look it up.
I would think that it's the Patriots.
Because 08 was Giants Patriots, right?
So 2009, where the ticket price went to.
2009 Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm looking it up. It was Cardinals Steelers. Ooh, wasn't that when who had that great catch in the edge of the end zone?
Oh,
was it that game?
Yeah.
And then Larry Fitzgerald went off.
Yep. And they tracked down.
Yeah.
Or interception.
Yep.
Chased him down.
Yep.
Did that whole thing.
I've seen highlights from that game.
$1,000 for the next 2 years.
I mean, that was a good Super Bowl.
It was a great Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Didn't go the way folks wanted it to. But...
still a great Super
Bowl. Yeah. Great Super
Bowl. Great game.
$1,500, 2014. Bounced all the way up.
10 years ago.
What it was done. $2,000 in 2015.
Wait, that went up 600 in
yes,
1 year.
It did. 1 year. 1 year.
Mm.
Following year, $500. It's $2,500 in 2016. Adjusted for inflation costs is $3,000. In 2017, ticket price cost $2,500.
Hmm.
2018, $2,500. 19, same. And then something happened in 2020.
What was that? What happened?
I would think that it's COVID. I don't know that it's COVID. I can't speak to it in that sort of way.
It'd be interesting if it was.
It really is.
I mean, it probably would have been harder to go to the game because, you know, they had less seats and stuff. That's maybe why.
This is crazy that it jumped from $2,500 to $7,000.
Wow.
$7,000. And it said that the average, if you adjusted it for inflation, it's only $8,000, which is some shenanigans because you're telling me that the money means more. Like that's
tomfoolery.
Yep. Tomfoolery. That's a good one. That's always a good one. It went up from 7,000 to 8,500 in 2021. From 8,600 to $9,000 in 2022. And then in last year, ticket costs range from $6,000 to $27,500.
Wow. I'm gonna tell you, I'm not spending that much to go to the Super Bowl. I'll just watch it at home.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the party you could have for that kind of money.
Yeah.
And not have to do any work.
You can invest that money. you can do anything you want with
it. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money. For a lot of people, that's a lot of money.
That's a down payment on a house.
For me, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. down payment on a house. Mm-hmm. You get what you want. But that's, I mean, that's a part of having discussions with folks and being able to say, okay, yeah, this is what moves me. To think, and we don't know who the athletes were in any of these games.
Yeah.
I did that on purpose just so that you could think, just simply put, what is the value of going to that game?
Something I was talking to you about during the break was a lot of people don't feel like sporting events are as fun to go to as they used to. And I feel like a big part of that is, you know, because of the price increase of tickets, I feel like your casual fan can't afford to go to these games, or maybe they can, but they don't want to spend that kind of money.
Well, these used to be old Ebbets Field type stadiums, mm-hmm, that were neighborhood Wrigley, where these are, mm-hmm, neighborhood stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Fenway is actually a neighborhood stadium, but it was built up, and the people who built it up didn't take any pride, didn't take any honor in it. And some of those have just not been good. I mean, I know FedEx Field, I mean, Daniel Snyder had lots to say about what to do with that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing, but a Super Bowl ticket ranging from $6,000 to $27,000, and not give me a reason for the increase, the improvement.
I mean, the game has gotten more popular, but.
Yeah, but it, I mean, that should mean more talent, not less.
Yeah.
You know, it just should. It's always fascinating.
Interesting. Do we want to get back to the conversation we were having?
So the GOAT conversation?
Time? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Because that, I mean, the Super Bowl thing was interesting.
So. Well, what tickled me was that in the ABA, I went and saw the Virginia Squires.
Yeah.
For $2.
See, and that's what this conversation came about.
I literally sat on the floor. I think I could have played. Like, I think if
you would have gave five, you,
right,
could play.
Like, I think that, you know, you mess around and play. But that Virginia team organization had just, so they lost Rick Barry.
Mm.
Because he said he didn't want his kids to have a Southern accent. He literally boycotted his contract.
Okay.
He boycotted a professional contract.
I didn't know that.
So that his kids wouldn't say y'all.
Like y'all.
He had a real issue with that.
I like saying y'all.
Yeah. It's a fun thing, and I don't know why he didn't enjoy it. So he left. They traded him. They also had a young player by the name of George Gervin.
Mm.
The Iceman. They traded him.
Mm.
They had Julius Erving.
Dr. J.
Traded him.
Mm. Traded Dr. J. Interesting.
Yeah. Like it haunted them for a while.
I bet it did.
Yeah, he ended up in New Jersey and
then Philadelphia?
Yeah. So he was with the New Jersey Nets. They won the ABA title.
Yeah.
And then they were pulled into the NBA. People weren't sure they weren't, you know, and then Philadelphia. After that, he wasn't the same in Philly.
Yeah. Not.
New Jersey and New York Doc was pretty impressive.
I mean, Philly Doc was pretty impressive too, but yeah.
First Virginia Bank Doc was nice.
All Dr. J was impressive.
Yep. I mean, it just was the thing. So my favorite athlete in basketball before the Bullets came to D.C. was Julius Erving.
Mm, that's a good choice.
So Frank Howard, Sonny Jurgensen, Julius Erving. And then I needed somebody from sports entertainment. Because back then, when you had three stations, that's all you had, wrestling was on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And families watched. It wasn't just dad or it wasn't just the son. It was everybody. They watched wrestling. At that time in Virginia, we were part of the WWWF.
Mm-hmm.
WWWF. And they had a champion named Bruno Sammartino, who was literally a superhero. He just beat up people each week. He beat up the bad guy. And he held the title for 7 years.
Okay. Wow. Long time.
Long time. And so we had some fun that he was one of my heroes because he protected good.
He was a hero.
Oh, he was everything. So those were my guys that I rooted for because they were local and familiar to,
mm-hmm,
me. But from a distance, people that I watched that I wanted to pay attention to. And I went, that's different. That's different. When it came to football, I tried to, you saw the same six teams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah.
My first hero, and it's probably not popular.
Uh-oh.
But it was O.J. Simpson.
Mm, the juice.
He ran for 2,000 yards.
He was a good football player.
He was the best. Everybody wanted to be.
I'm underselling that. He was a good football player.
Right? But my stepdad had his own superhero. And he drilled it in my head that the greatest football player to ever live wasn't from his era. It wasn't from my era. It was from his. He said, this was the greatest Superman ever. His name was Jim Brown.
Yeah. Brown. He played for the Browns, right? Yep.
He said, Jim Brown's the greatest football player to ever live. And then, so that became my favorite football player.
Interesting.
He said that Willie Mays was the best baseball player to ever live.
And he passed away.
My stepdad preached Willie Mays, the best five-tool athlete ever. And so I fought for that. Mm-hmm. I fought for that. And then in basketball, my stepdad would take me to church when it came to basketball. And he would tell me about Wilt Chamberlain.
Mm. Wilt the Still.
And nobody did what Wilt could do.
Mm.
I mean, averaging 50 points and 20 rebounds in the same season.
Was this 100-point game real? Did it actually happen? Yes. Okay. Yes. There's a lot of people that don't think that happened, and I find that weird.
And they're weird.
Yeah.
They're weird.
Yeah.
It happened. Stop it.
Yeah.
He averaged 50 points a game. Like, he did it. Like, he did it every night.
He was the biggest dude on the court.
Like, well, I mean, he was, but he was always the best athlete.
True. Yeah. He was an athlete.
Mm-hmm. He was the best athlete on the court. And that was like kind of the thing was watching him be dominant and then watching Lew Alcindor take his place, watching Kareem become Kareem.
Kareem was the GOAT before Michael Jordan, I feel like.
Well, he had a better college career than Jordan did. Because at UCLA, I think they lost one game, maybe.
Yeah, because that was when,
Elvin Hayes.
Who was their?
Yeah. When Elvin Hayes beat them out of Houston.
Who is their coach? Why am I blanking?
John Wooden.
John Wooden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't think.
And Wooden's the greatest basketball coach of all time.
Great.
Like,
I doesn't even compare.
I lean. And again, the GOAT conversation kind of bleeds over. But yeah, so John Wooden was the greatest collegiate basketball coach ever. Mm-hmm. 11 titles. 9 of them consecutive years. Yeah, not bad.
It's like Bill Russell numbers.
But he's the Bill Russell in that conversation.
Yeah.
Bill Russell was the winningest player.
Yeah.
Then you get into pro basketball. And I'm a member of this, that if you told me that you thought it was Phil Jackson, that means you haven't paid attention to Red Auerbach. Red Auerbach won more titles. The Celtics team would have to win through 2030 to just be in the discussion with Red Auerbach.
Mm.
That's how good he was. And in baseball, I loved Earl Weaver.
Okay.
Who managed Baltimore Orioles. He was the first guy that I ever saw throw a tantrum at work.
A tantrum?
He would throw tantrums.
I have not thrown a tantrum yet.
He would go. These were monumental tantrums, Ben.
Monumental.
He would kick dirt.
Ooh.
at the home plate umpire.
I've seen the dirt kicks.
He would pull the bases out of the hole.
Oh, that's a new one.
Yeah, and then he would throw them
at the umps.
Yeah, he would throw them away from the umps. Oh, okay. Right. He would throw bats, and then that led to Billy Martin doing the same. And then Sparky Anderson of the Big Red Machine. Those were the GOATs. Mm. Like, those are the people that, no matter what was going on, those were the GOATs. I'll ask you, if you could draft up your favorite baseball team, like the best baseball team, position by position,
You put me on the spot, DP.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
I'm not a huge baseball person, but I mean.
Are you a football guy?
Yeah.
Are you a basketball guy?
Yes.
Okay. So if I said in the NBA,
You
could pick any player, any era.
Okay.
Give me your five.
I only get five. All right. Well, I'm going to put Michael Jordan in there.
Okay.
That's my first pick.
Okay.
The debate between Curry and Magic Johnson is always interesting to me because they're two completely different players.
Mm-hmm. You only get one.
I know I only get one. I want to say Magic, but then again, it's like my center's not going to be able to shoot threes either. So I might pick Curry.
Okay.
I think I'm going to pick Curry.
Okay.
Then I'll put LeBron at the three.
Okay.
At the four. Who would I put at the four? I think Tim Duncan.
Okay.
I think I'll put Tim Duncan.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Either that or I would do like two centers, like Kareem.
It's your team.
Yeah.
It's your team. I'm literally gonna do whatever you want.
I'm going to do Tim Duncan and then I'll put Shaq. I'll put the Diesel.
Okay.
That'll be my five.
That's your five.
That's my five.
Okay.
Maybe Dirk Nowitzki instead of Tim Duncan because he was pretty good too. But I'll say Tim.
It's a weird thing that I have a lot of friends who love Dirk like that.
Yeah.
I don't love Dirk that way, but I also don't love Tim Duncan that way.
Tim Duncan won a lot.
He won a lot, but then it becomes the Belichick-Brady conversation with Duncan and Popovich. Are they great because of each other? Are they great in spite of each other? Could they have been great in spite of each other? Also, remember that Duncan walked in and had David Robinson to lean on.
And he was good.
And they had four number one picks. Like Sean Elliott was no slouch.
Yeah.
How they won with Avery Johnson is a mystery to me. But the fact that they had Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili behind them made a heck of a difference. And to me, that speaks more to Popovich than the player, right? That it's Popovich more than Duncan because he turned his sixth man into an all-star. He turned his seventh man into an all-star. That's pretty good. I think that's him, not Tim.
Tim Duncan was good though.
Very good. I just don't.
Like, so is that the one you don't agree with? We agree with on my list.
Well, so
who did I leave off? That's irking you.
There's no wrong because it's yours.
It's mine.
But if I could play any big at four.
True.
Does that mean I want him to shoot? Or do I want him to rebound?
Yeah. I feel like, if I was wanting to shoot, then I'd pick Dirk. Single-handedly.
I don't know that Dirk could guard Karl Malone.
See, when I was thinking for Karl Malone came up in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know that people give Karl the due respect as a player.
Like
he was a savage. He was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same token, I don't know that John Stockton gets enough credit at the point guard position.
There's people saying that Isaiah Thomas was better than John Stockton.
Well,
he was on the Bad Boys.
Well, but if you look at Stock's head to head against Zeke, he did just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say the Jazz were like 9-4 against the Pistons, against Zeke's.
Yeah, the only thing that the Jazz didn't have is that they didn't win a championship.
Well, they didn't have big. They didn't have big.
They had Carmelo.
No, well, Carl's a four. They didn't have five.
They didn't, yeah.
They have five. Their fives is a list of wow.
And they were going against Michael Jordan.
Greg Ostertag. Greg Ostertag. I'm willing to go on. He didn't average 10 points a game for his career. Okay. Like, check that out. The Greg Ostertag.
Okay.
That I'm almost positive he didn't go that deep. They weren't good. Matt Harpering, Byron Russell at the two and three shared. They had a stretch where Mark Eaton was their center. Mount Eaton, 7'5", one of the great shot blockers in history. Wasn't going to help him beat the Lakers. Like it wasn't a thing. So
yeah,
it, you're never wrong in giving your list.
That's my list.
That's it's not a bad thing. I think I would. I like defense though. I like defense. All of the greats can play offense, can get buckets. Not all of them can shoot, and not all of them can defend. So,
were you interested in my Shaq pick?
Yeah, because there's a point of reference to it. Although I think that Shaq, I don't know. There's no way of knowing between Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Russell.
Yeah, it's. I don't feel you can go wrong with any of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think Shaq was so dominant. I mean, who? I don't think anyone could stop him.
Well, Wilt would have stopped him. As much as anybody could stop him, but it's not like Shaq was going to stop Wilt. Like it's two dinosaurs just slugging each other.
That would be fun to watch.
Yeah,
like Shaq against Will, that would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, but Shaq had problems with Olajuwon.
That's a name I forgot about.
Like Olajuwon was as good as any of those four. David Robinson, Patrick Ewing. Like there's some folks in the
I think it's just because I'm from the younger generation that I pick Shaq.
And I don't know that Larry Bird isn't on the first team either. Bird was a master.
Yeah, I just feel like LeBron, I don't know, I just can't leave LeBron off.
Well, but if you told me that Larry Bird was going to run your offense or Magic was going to run your offense.
Well, I had Magic.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I had Magic and I had Curry and Michael Jordan.
I'm not sure that I take Curry over a lot of players when it comes to greatness. I don't know. I mean, deservedly so. I mean, they had the run.
I think Michael Jordan is a better point guard, but I just think if I was picking five players, I mean, you could put Curry on any team and he would
hit jumpers.
He would fit in.
Like, he would hit jumpers.
Yeah. Not saying Magic Johnson wouldn't, but like you could put Curry on.
Yeah, any team. But Magic, you couldn't stop Magic at 6 foot nine.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't like he would destroy Steph.
Yeah.
He would score 40 against Steph every night, which is the real discussion, is what are you willing to concede to have him on the floor? So I don't know. But that's why we have the discussion.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that's why we have the discussion.
So, before we wrap up the show, I want to, you didn't give a goat for fighting UFC, did you?
UFC, it's John Jones, and we can stop.
Okay.
Like Bones Jones is the one.
See, I'm, that's surprising. I thought you would have went with someone a little bit later, older than John Jones.
Habib is second.
Because I remember John Jones.
Habib is second.
Okay.
He's second. But
okay.
Bones is, nobody did what he did. Nobody could do what he did.
That when I think UFC, the name that comes to mind, I mean, this is just because Conor McGregor is who, is why I watch
he's
UFC.
I'm
just saying like popularity wise, that's why he's the reason why I watch.
He could be your favorite, but I'm not sure.
I'm not saying he's the best.
Yeah.
But he was
him being the favorite.
No, John Jones was a beast.
Yeah.
I remember watching him. Yeah. He was a beast.
Still is.
Yeah.
Still is. He's coming back. He's fighting in 4 months.
Yeah.
3 months. It'll be interesting.
Go conversation is always interesting, DP.
Yeah, well, that's why we go to him. Reset, you know?
Because, I mean, again, I mean, just to close out, I mean, the definition of the GO, I mean, greatest of all time. Is that the most dominant of all time? Does that mean you were the most talented? I mean, it's a whole debate.
It is because numbers don't have the same meaning now than they did before.
See, it's hard to compare eras.
It's hard to compare eras. It's style of play, body mass. Folks are just bigger, taller, stronger now. So, yeah, that's a thing. So, yeah, it's hard to compare because you can talk receivers. People love today's receivers, but I would put the receivers from the 70s and 80s against them any day. And people would frown because Lynn Swann and John Starworth were as good as they were.
I'm having a brain fart. Who was the really good wide receiver for the 49ers when they had Joe Montana?
Dwight Clark.
Him?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice. That's who I was thinking.
Rice the GOAT.
That Yeah.
Rice is the guy.
When I think wide receiver.
Crosses every era.
Rice, when I think older, like the older generation wide receiver, that's who.
Crosses every year. He would be the golden every year.
And then I feel like recently, maybe Randy Moss.
Moss is in the top three. Yep.
So who would be your top three? Rice?
For me, it's Rice, Chris Carter, Moss.
Interesting.
Moss. Those are my three greats.
Mm.
Those are my three greats. Yeah, that lands.
Do you think any of the modern day wide receivers could even touch any of those guys? No.
No. What they did in a different game that wasn't built
around throwing to them. Yeah.
Well, not around throwing, but also these guys now can't be touched. Rice and those guys had to go against Mel Blount and Jack Tatum, and they fought at the line of scrimmage. It's a different game.
It was a different game.
A different game. Quarterbacks had to get the ball out of their hand. They had to trust the receivers because they could get dumped on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a different game now.
It was different. It was definitely a different game.
Different game.
Good show today, DP.
Thank you, man.
Deep 101 will return Monday.
Yes.
It'll return Monday. Until then.
It'll return Sunday at 1 with a special guest.
Ooh. Is it gonna be a mystery? Not gonna let anybody know.
He's a member of the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, I know who it is. Not going to say.
There you go.
I know who it is.
There you go.
He may have had a show here before.
Maybe.
Well, with that, I'll see you later, DP.
I'm out.
Everyone have a good night. This was 1-on-1 with DP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.